that mastiff. Hello.
Hey there.
Hi.
Welcome to episode 47 of Come Get Your Podcast. I'm your host, Adam.
I'm Dustin.
And I am Chris.
And I have a complaint.
Here we go.
It's 2019.
Okay.
And websites are a thing, and they like to, every once in a while, give rankings of things, okay?
Sure.
So I was cruising around ESPN's website and looking at the March Madness scores happening so far. And there was an article that led away from the site to something called newarena.com. And it was ranking every NBA franchise's top five all-time starting five. Okay?
Yeah.
So I was curious. And that's a list of 30.
Sure.
And they separated every single fucking team by a page, so you have to click next. And all I wanted to do was look up what the Bulls' top five, all-stars are per position. Mm-hmm. And it took me, they're number three. So it took me 27 fucking clicks to get there. Normally I'd give up, but I was determined this time.
But it's your Bulls. You gotta love the Bulls.
I'm willing to do it for the Bulls. But fuck websites that do that.
Yeah, it's clicks, man. Definitely. But it was, I'm surprised that it was ESPN that did that.
Well, it's not ESPN. Okay. It was an article on the bottom of an ESPN page that led away to newarena.com.
It's probably an ad.
Those are the websites I never visit because every single one of them do that bullshit you're talking about, and I fucking mm-hmm. hate it too.
Coincidentally, that is probably the websites that Katie visits all the time.
Hey, I would agree.
Also, while getting to the Bulls page, I accidentally clicked on a fucking DirecTV ad twice because it's not there and then it pops in.
Yeah.
Get ready for an advertisement. They're going to send it to your cookies, your email, and you're going to get a letter probably too.
I always do every couple months. So
they fool you. Do those fool you sometimes? Like,
no, because they have pink paper.
No, those do. I forget like who it is, but it always seems like really official and it has like that black and white like dots in the back, like like a check would come in or
yes.
like tax returns. I'm like, okay, this has got to be important. And it's like, get $100 off rebate. I'm like, no, fuck you.
And it's like sometimes they send it in the form, like it looks like a utilities bill.
Yeah.
And it's pink paper on it, so it's like, uh oh. By the way, all the top five starters for the Bulls is D Rose, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Bob Love, and Artis Gilmore.
Okay. Okay.
Sixth man is Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
So, Steve
Kerr's not on there. He's underrated. So,
well, Steve Kerr was more of he was the three. He was like, it was almost like the beginning of the 3-point specialty guy back in the 90s.
That's Artis Gilmore, I believe.
Yeah.
The same position, and probably why he's not.
Yeah. Because, Steve Kerr was great, but he wasn't like.
What did Steve Kerr play?
He was
basketball. He played basketball.
Steve Kerr was a point guard.
Was he a point guard? Okay, mm-hmm. Then it's D Rose. That's why.
Yeah.
So makes sense then.
Yeah. So yeah, Steve Kerr, like yeah, Derrick Rose is like the I'm gonna play 90% of the minutes, and and Steve Kerr is the guy that comes in and tries to drain a three. He's almost like he's almost like a sixth man, but he's like in between.
He was the sixth man.
Right. So
speaking of the Bulls, every so often I will go back and watch Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech, and I just love it. It's so funny.
Yeah, when he starts, when he does the crying, it's just fucking cracks me.
Well, crying just Jordan. Just the stories he says, and mm-hmm. It's great.
That was it. That was my complaint.
Hey, man. I agree with you. I fucking hate websites that do that.
I tried to keep it short and sweet.
Well, besides that, what have you been up to lately?
Not much. Just been kind of hanging out a lot. Mm-hmm. Played some God of War here and there.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. And although that's unfortunately going to get shoved to the side for a little while.
No.
But, well, we talked about it last time. Sekiro mm-hmm. came out, and so I did that last night. And my God, that game's great. Which we'll get into.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I've been up to. I mean, well, we had that surprise party last week for a certain special boy.
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm.
How, were you surprised?
100%.
Okay.
Did not see it coming at all.
Someone was celebrating the big 5-0. And, no, I think, what, we put 69 on your crown?
You did. You did put 69th birthday. So we'll go with that.
At a nice, big, super soft birthday party for your boy, Dustin, over
here. It was so fantastic. I loved it. I thought it was great. We played some Smash, played some Mario Kart.
Oh, yeah.
Got to make our own cupcakes.
I did not, unfortunately. I didn't get a cupcake, so I bet they were good, though.
Those cupcakes were good.
Really good. I bet the charcuterie was fantastic.
The charcuterie was very good.
But
someone spilled a pint glass into the punch bowl and shattered everything.
I know she's not listening, but no. We forgive you.
Yeah.
Miranda might. Not.
Shit happens. It's all right.
It looked good. It looked presentable.
One of the first times I ever hung out with Dustin at a party, he broke a pint glass in my house, so mm-hmm. it seemed oddly reminiscent.
It seemed fitting.
I've known Tony for a long time.
Yeah.
The person for a long time, but
It happens.
Shit happens.
You know. I spilled wine on their old couch. It's, you know.
You might get to move those couches today.
For the what, how many times have I moved those couches?
At least twice, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's all right. Let's just round it off with a three.
Hat trick.
Those are the light ones. Those aren't the big like sofa looking things.
No, yeah, I know. It's the ones that were in your other living room at your old place.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
So Dustin gets to move stuff again today.
Mm-hmm. And if you've
say, because I'm a nice guy and I don't say no to people when they ask me to help move, so.
Yep.
I was going to say, if you listen to previous episodes, this is not uncommon for Dustin to move people from one location mm-hmm. to another,
mm-hmm.
you know, or just items in general.
It's a common theme.
Well, it's like we all know how shitty it is to have to move. Like, it sucks. So, really, having the most help is beneficial. So, I've had many people have come help me move multiple times, so I usually try to do my part and help.
You're basically doing it so you can rely on those people if you ever move at a later date.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's like paying it forward.
Yeah. Eventually, if I ever move again, I'm just going to hire people if I can afford it.
Like, I don't want to do this again.
I'm over it.
Yeah. It's all work.
Yeah.
And like, it's definitely more expensive than having your friends do it. But like, you know, if you're the person who is the movie, you provide the pizza, the beer, or alcohol or whatever for people, mm-hmm. and then renting a truck and like, so I mean, like, what's the real cost difference here? It's got to be close sometimes.
It really is. I mean, I don't know exactly how much a professional moving service costs, but.
I think it just depends how much shit you have.
Probably.
The weight of it and
stairs and all that other junk.
Mm-hmm.
There was that one year when we moved into our old place that Katie picked a day to move, and that was the day that I was running a Tough Mudder. So I wasn't even there when we moved into our last place.
You weren't.
Now that's her fault though, right?
I mean, I'd planned mine months in advance. This just kind of came up abruptly. Plus, I will argue that what I went through that day was tougher than moving.
Mudder.
I would agree. would agree. It was
tougher. I could barely get out of bed the next day. I was so sore. So.
Tough to Lamut. Nope.
Trying to figure it out.
You're close. You're close. You're almost there.
I mean, it's not often I try to come up with a puddle of mud joke, so.
I didn't realize that's what you were trying to do, and now that's all that's going to be going out of my brain.
She fucking hates me.
That's the only song
I know. Na-na-na-na.
For some reason, Muddle of Pud popped into my head, and I think that's funny. Muddle of Pud.
All right, that's better. I can admit that as a man.
I don't know. It means nothing, but it just cracks
me. Sure doesn't.
It just makes me chuckle.
So what you're saying is that you had a fun time playing Sekiro.
I did. Last night. There is not a stream archive of it, because for some reason it didn't save it.
Womp womp.
But for the future, because I promised last time I'd stream every single bit of it of me beating it, and I'm promising that. So I got 4 hours into it. Game's amazing. The 10 out of 10.
That game looks, it just looks super cool.
It's one of those things where it's so different, but at the same time, the same feelings are there of Souls and Bloodborne. Mm-hmm. So like it's an old friend.
Well, that's why it's a game I feel like I might be able to get into, because I love like the Metal Gear Solid sneaky, you know, stealth kill. Like that's all I did.
There's a lot of that in this game so far. And I don't like. Chris popped on the stream for a little while last night and was asking me about it. And the way I explained it to him is it's a mixture of Bloodborne and Dark Souls-y stuff, where, at least with combat pacing, because Bloodborne is super fast, like get in there, dash around, and hit. Souls games are a little more slower, but you want to, you know, dodge a lot and then get your hits in. This one is a weird redheaded stepchild, because that sounds bad. A mixture of the both, because it emphasizes like get your hits in to like so their health goes down, or sometimes it makes their posture bar go up, and if you break their or fill their posture meter to full, you have an insta kill chance. So you want to get in there, but at the same time, like, you need to be careful of any attacks they're doing. So you need to parry and block, which slows things down. And sometimes enemies will do hits that are unblockable, and you need to figure out which one of your three dodge mechanics you need to use. There's also a big emphasis on stealth, which slows things down, but it's a mixture. And it's a lot of fun. The 4 hours I played, I probably could have gotten a little further. I only ran into two walls. I'm far from the best Souls player, but I've played it pretty recently, so I'm still have that kind of ingrained in me right now. So it wasn't hard to pick up. And it's bananas. Like the story is going everywhere in a good way.
Yeah, you said you were you'd gotten an item and it like from a lady and you're in the past or something.
I woke up 3 years in the past, but I still have like the prosthetic arm thing, which took place in what I think is the present. And like there's a character I found in the past that you talk to about that, and it's bananas. But it's good. Like, I mean, you're a shinobi warrior. Your only goal is to like protect your master, who is this prince who's kidnapped, and you're trying to get him back. And that's how the game starts. And you find him and rescue him, and then you run into a guy, and you have an incident where your arm gets cut off, and then you wake up next to this old, very hairy man. And he's put a prosthetic arm on you, which has a grappling hook. And then throughout the world, you can find other prosthetic devices you can attach to that. So now I have like a big flame cannon and an axe attachment for heavy hits, and I found those in the past, but it's also transferred to the future. But I don't know. It's going to be fun bonkers. To try and figure that game out. It's going to be fun to try and figure that game out.
Shit is bonkers.
And it looks great. It runs great on PC. I think I have a little bug where sometimes during the cutscenes, my audio cuts out. But just the background music and ambient music or ambient sounds. Anytime somebody's speaking or there's dialogue, the sound's there. So it's not a huge problem.
Did you look it up? Is anybody else having the same thing?
I haven't yet, but I know that was a thing for Resident Evil 2. That was a bug a lot of people were experiencing. So okay. It just, you know, kind of makes sense that that's a thing. And that should get ironed out, I would imagine. It's not totally immersive breaking, like, and I'm not missing any dialogue. So, I mean, really, it's not a huge problem. And I mean, Dustin said you weren't hearing it, so honestly, just could be my headphones.
No, yeah, it's possible that I didn't notice it if it did happen when I was able to watch in the stream, but at the time, I didn't see any interruption on my end.
Okay,
so
I don't know. I thought it could have been my headphones peaking or whatever, so the sound was cutting out. So I turned those down, and that wasn't it. So
honestly,
I don't know.
And honestly, surprisingly enough, like, watching you stream it was actually quite enjoyable watching, like, that it feel like this game seems like a great game to watch somebody play, like watch a stream of it. It's very, very interesting.
That's at twitch.tv/comegetyourpodcast.
One word.
but I mean, seriously, because it's the whole stealth element, and like you're like intently like watching, listening in when you're listening into conversations or eavesdropping, like you kind of can get into it. But it's like, it's because I'm always interested in the story and the gameplay of those, even if I'm not the best at those games, I guess. At least by Bloodborne and
Dark Souls.
Well, I feel like it's different. Like, it's the same type of game. Don't get me wrong, where it's hard and, you know, you got to have precision hits and everything like that. But, like, the stealth element, I feel, is something, like, is like for myself as a player, would be more beneficial. Because, like I said, Metal Gear Solid 5, like, you could go run and gun and everything, but I was the stealth person sneaking around, you know, getting people, killing them, things like that. So I feel like this could be up my alley.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you were in stream when I talked about it, but, like, there were several instances last night where I said it was very Metal Gear-esque with just stealthing around and... sometimes the periphery of the guards that are around or the people that are around.
Sure.
Like, you can easily sneak up on people.
Yeah, sometimes. You did say that with a guy that said like his vision wasn't that high.
But I also had, I think by that point, I had given myself a skill that decreases the sound I make.
The amount of noise you make?
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, that's the other thing too, is like I told you guys, but every half hour to 45 minutes, generally speaking, something happens where the world itself gets bigger with branching paths you can go explore, or you unlock skill trees, or you find new items that unlock other things. And so, like, something continuously so far in the first 4 hours, something's been happening about every hour where the world gets bigger and there's more stuff to do. And so there's three different kinds of skill trees, which have 15 to 20 different skills, and you level those up by getting experience, by killing people and tougher enemies and whatnot. And then every time that your experience meter fills up, it goes back to zero, but you gain a level. And so you use those levels to get skills.
Mm-hmm.
And just, there's your prosthetic devices you have on your arms, you can use and switch between on the fly, but they cost, I believe they're called
prayer beads.
No, that I'll get into that next. It's these little paper things that kind of look like angel-y type things. And you can find them in the world, and they automatically go to your person, or you can buy them at what are the new bonfires, quote unquote, called Sculptor's Idols, and you can buy them there with using money you find by killing people, or just throughout the world. And each time you use your prosthetic device, other than the grappling hook, it costs one or two of those little guys. So it's a limited resource, but you can get a lot of them. And then as far as the prayer bead thing goes, anytime you defeat a tough enemy, generally speaking, you get a prayer bead. If you collect four of those, you can make a prayer necklace. And then if you have a prayer necklace, you can use at a sculptor's idol bonfire, you can turn that in to level up your health and strength. And that's the only way you can do it. Huh. Unlike Souls games or Bloodborne, where the more souls you have, which is the currency for those games, or Blood Echoes for Bloodborne, you can just put, it costs a certain amount of money, and you can dump it into whatever. Into whatever stats you want, and the higher level you get, the more it costs to level anything up. This time around, it's a little different.
Yeah, but I like that change, though. That's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, it is cool. So instead of souls as currency or Blood Echoes, you have gold, essentially. Mm-hmm. And instead of like the little like soul of an unknown soldier or whatever you find throughout the world in, you know, Dark Souls games, you'll find a tiny coin purse, which makes me laugh, or a extra large coin purse. And then you pop those and you get a bunch of money, or sen, as it's called in a game, but it's gold. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it, like, I got to probably an hour and a half, into what is the present. And then I found this woman who is going senile, thought I was her son, and gave me a little bell. And that's when I, like, she was like, use it in prayer at a statue of Buddha. So I did that. And that's when I got sent 3 years into the past. And
that's how you found your dad.
I found my dad, the owl, and I think I'm at the boss of that, I think. And that's the last wall I ran into in 4 hours, so that's not too bad.
No.
Only the two walls, one of which Chris gave me his energy to beat a mini-boss.
All I told him was that you need to believe in yourself like I believe in him, and
that was the time I beat the boss.
That's all you needed. That's all he needed, man.
And I mean, it only took me 3 or 4 tries to beat that guy, but he was tough because he was a completely different type of enemy I hadn't run into yet. And it's the same thing with this guy, except this guy is a large, large sumo wrestler looking man with a large sword who likes to drink and then vomit poison onto his sword or in your face.
Oh, I do that in Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, it's very similar.
I can't wait until we run into some of these characters in our D&D game. Is that not, these are just going to give you ideas.
You guys are coming closer to the end of what I have
of your art
in mind. And then I think I'm going to take a break because I want to play.
Yeah, I think Katie's been talking about how she wants to take over at that point.
Completely fine. I want to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's completely different characters.
I want to bring Duncan back if we can, but
no, he's done. He's dead to me. He threw me in a pit, man.
You're breaking my heart here, Chris. I don't know what plans I have for my own character or your guys' characters, but after my arc is done, I want to take a break so I can play and someone else can be a DM.
No, I mean this is a little off topic, but yeah, I think Katie and I have been talking about it, and she's like, she's got all these ideas of what she wants to do, and I think she wants to give a shot at running it for a bit, so that would be perfect.
That would be fun, and I know Misty has plans too, so like, even if we do a couple like one-off type things, that'd be fine.
Just in the interim until we reset and do our next arc.
Well, there's the idea of the guild thing, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'll just drop it now. Katie had this idea of, you know, we go back, start running a guild, and each one of us would run two separate characters, right? But
okay,
so like the
connected universe situation,
kind of, but then so we would each have two characters, and you know, we would work in a guild and we would get missions that come in that we have to deal with. And you have to pick which one of your characters is going to go do which mission. And then technically they're going to be like happening at the same time. So one session could be going and doing this one mission. And then the next one, you're your other character doing this other thing that everybody voted on doing. So it's not like you're running two characters all at once, but it gives you the ability switching. To like, yeah, like mix things up and be like, I want to try this guy out and then just do that.
It's a cool concept.
It is. So I think that I think some things need to be hashed out, but
yeah. Well, you got time still.
Yeah.
You guys still have
we still got a little bit to go in yours.
At least, I don't want to put a timestamp on it, but at least like three more probably.
Yeah. I was going to say, depending on how much we just talk in between, probably 3 to 4.
So yeah, I will be continuing. I don't have a set schedule for when I'm streaming Sekiro. It really just depends on my weekend plans and work and stuff like that. But twitch.tv/comegetyourpodcast, that's pretty much going to be my main focus for a while.
Yeah. Stop on by. Chat.
I'll plug it now. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Like, I'll give ample warnings of when I'm going to start streaming and come say hi. Follow us, because we don't want donations. It's not that kind of Twitch thing right now. Just want to build a community.
Yeah, just come by, hang out, watch some gaming. If Chris and I are in the chat, we'll chat it up with you. And
I'm sure every once in a while you guys are more welcome to take over and play whatever you guys want to, because my main thing is going to be streaming Sekiro. You guys can stream whatever you would like to, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, Dustin and I have been playing Division 2 lately.
We have.
Yes, and I've heard some very, very good things about that.
It's just fun.
That game is a lot of fun.
There's so much to do, and a lot of the stuff that was wrong with the first one they fixed, you know? Like, it's not just missions. Like, there's missions, but there's a lot of side stuff. There's these control points you have to take over. And, like, there's side missions you can do, but then all of a sudden, like, there'll be another side mission in the same place that's, like, a new one.
Yep.
That we just realized, like, we already did that one, though, but it's, like, but it's new.
Completely different. Yep. Same area, completely different. They have public executions that you have to stop when you're just, like, running through. And
this, one of the things I've been reading and seeing is, like, this is, like, there's stuff to do.
Yeah.
So, like, that, which is complete. I mean, there was a lot of stuff to do in the Division 1 throughout the game, but even at the early stages, like, there wasn't, you could only do so much. Like, this one sounds like it's packed from beginning to whatever the end game is, and even after the end game, like, there's stuff to do.
I mean, so far, I think we're level 15, 16?
Yeah, 15 or 16.
Somewhere along there, and, you know, we can already tell, like, Chris and I only play, generally, we only play either main missions or side missions, and we're just kind of like, we'll do some of these side things as we're like going along. But I mean, there's areas on the map we can see right now that are, you have to be level 26 or 30 to even go near. And it's like, we have not had a moment through 15 or 16 levels where it's like, we can't really do anything, or we need to grind to level up. There's always something to do.
Well, we didn't know, not grindy. Like, there was one mission where we couldn't do yet.
Well, we just had to do some side missions, right?
But we just went and did some other side missions, control points,
and boom.
And then we could level up to that. But Dustin just can't wait to get to the Lincoln Memorial.
It's now a quest.
That's his goal.
It's now a quest on our map, the Lincoln Memorial. I'm fucking excited about it.
But it's like, we have to get like 5 or 6 more levels, I think.
And like, we've legit been to Washington, D.C., and this is running around Washington, D.C. This is
it's pretty close.
Yeah,
We just rescued the president.
We did.
Nice. So. Another thing I was very happy to hear about was that it seems to be, for a AAA game that's multiplayer online only. Maybe not only. I don't know. You might be able to play that offline, but I don't think you can.
No, nope, you can't.
Okay. Minimal bugs.
So when you have launches like Fallout 76 and Anthem recently, like, this is just a breath of fresh air, because I have not encountered really any game-breaking bugs. There's been a couple glitches that I've ran into, but nothing like, I can't use this ability, or, wow, this is just freezing my game up.
or even like servers being crashing or anything like that. Like, this has been one of the smoothest launches for a AAA game in my recent and slightly extended memory.
And it's huge. Like, it is a huge game.
And like, there's no loading screens, really.
Not compared to the first one, unless you're fast traveling. Like, and even then, like, I remember the first game, when you were walking into like your base operations, you had to like stop and walk through it. But like, you're able to just go through this place with no problems.
Yeah. It's really refreshing. It's because I remember we played the beta, like Chris and I played the beta, and there were some bugs in that like you would expect in a beta. And, you know, so I figured, okay, we'll still see maybe some of these when the release comes. None of them. I think the only thing I've run into at this point, we were playing the other day, and when I logged in, my character just became a black man on my screen.
Yeah, that was weird.
But it wasn't it wasn't for Chris, and it didn't affect gameplay at all. I was just like, oh, my character just looks different, and that's whatever.
I was just like, you're cosplaying as the guy from Tropic Thunder, you know? Like,
oh, you're Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Disguised as another dude.
You reversed Michael Jackson.
Yeah, so like, but that had no effect on gameplay. Like, we still play it. It doesn't bother me. I don't give a shit what my character looks like.
Was he black the whole session?
That whole session, yeah. And then when we jumped on the other, like 2 days ago, my character was back to looking like I had set him up as. So it was like, all right.
Just one instance.
Yeah. So.
Well, and we had played beta, you know, like me, Dustin, and then me, Dustin, and Jeff. And I had fun with it, but it was just like it just feels like the Division 1, you know. And I wasn't, this was not a game I was planning on purchasing. You know, I was like, I'll skip on this one. But then, like, all these reviews, and we're talking so highly about it. And, like, a Game Over Greggy, who, like, I have a very similar game taste with him, I feel. And he was just, like, raving about it. And I'm like, okay, I might have to give this another shot. And I was just watching videos. So I was like, yeah, okay. Bought it. And I messaged Dustin. I was like, yeah, so I just bought The Division 2.
He's like, who's coming with me? And I was like, well, you know I'm in.
All the reviews I saw on it and what I watched of it, like, I was like, damn, like, that looks like fun. And I'm very interested in it. And if it wasn't for Sekiro coming out, like, I probably would have bought it.
Yeah.
But.
Hey, man.
Did Jeff get it?
Not yet. I think we're trying to convince him to, because technically we could run a 4-man squad.
Oh, you can run 4-man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, and it scales. So, like, even if Chris and I are way higher levels, like, it will scale us down to your level so we can play with you.
Up.
That's incorrect, actually.
It's
the other way around.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It was on a tooltip in the game where it says
that doesn't make sense. Because, like, if we join them at level 2 and they're the party leader, wouldn't we scale down to their level and not just walk through their missions?
I don't think so.
Huh.
We could test it. I could make a new character, but
that's true.
Further testing
is needed.
I thought I read a tooltip that said it scales to the highest level person.
Well, that could be an issue.
For science.
We could test that out, but I'll create another character to play with you.
I know. I remember reading or hearing that there's a couple dark zone places that it's everyone's on an even playing field no matter what your level is.
I will say we haven't made it to the dark zone yet in our game. Okay. So I'm interested to see what that's going to be like.
Maybe the tooltip was talking about that or something, but
that's possible.
Anyway, I'm super, like, kudos to Massive and Ubisoft to, like, get this out as smoothly as possible.
No, and it's especially, like, most games when they have launched haven't been met well.
That's the norm now.
There are two exceptions in recent memory I can think of, and that's one is Forsaken, Destiny 2 Forsaken, and the other one is Division 2.
I'm going to caveat Forsaken because it had already established vanilla game at that point.
All right, fair point. But even the Destiny 2, I don't think it had a lot of massive issues when it first launched, you know?
Not as much as most others.
But, yeah, it just feels good.
Good. Okay, just I finally read on it, so sorry. So to go back to the level scaling.
Yes.
So technically, yeah. So if you were to join, you would scale up to our level. But okay. If you're the party leader and you're running those early missions, you will still get loot drops subsequent to your level. So it's not like you're like jumping 15 levels in one play session. But it's not like you're going to get mowed down as you're trying to run through the level along with us. So it doesn't slow anybody down, which is
seems like a good way to do
okay.
it.
Not
okay.
bad. Yeah. Okay.
Makes more sense.
Yep.
Hey, man. And even like, I talked about it last time. The From Software has generally had rough PC launches.
Yeah.
This one is buttery smooth, other than the little audio glitch. And then I accidentally got to one place I wasn't supposed to go to and died real hard because of it.
Because you tried to go a little too much?
No. So, like, part of the... sneaking thing is like go underneath houses, the pagodas or whatever, to like get around people. And the area I was in, everything's on fire. But I thought I saw a little opening, so I was like, oh, I wonder if I can get in there. And like mm-hmm. after I got underneath this little porch thing, like the camera started freaking the fuck out, and my character like started jittering around, and then I got lit on fire and instantly died and yes. couldn't get out. And then I rezzed myself because that's a mechanic, which I'm sure most people know by now, and then it instantly died again. So just a couple little areas that you're probably not supposed to go to that you currently can, or at least maybe they just need to change it so the hitbox allows you to get back out. I don't know.
Sure.
But it was day one, so like whatever. So yeah, I'm glad Division 2 is fun. Glad you guys are having fun with it.
Yeah.
Maybe sometime down the line, I'll...
join us in DC.
Yeah. Speaking of DC, we went there with our sponsor forever ago. Josh from Slumberyard Handcrafted. Slumberyard Handcrafted is your source of custom wood furniture, woodworks, and sawmill services, from tables to beds, cutting boards to benches, and everything in between. They are here to build your dream. You can visit their website at slumberyardhandcrafted.com, where there you can see a portfolio, a calendar of upcoming events, and if you have something in mind, you can schedule yourself a free design session. You can check them out on Instagram and Facebook at slumberyardhandcrafted, and go visit slumberyardhandcrafted.com and get a nice, I don't know, little hallway, a little umbrella holder. You can keep your katana in there, or, you know, guns from the Division to
get a gun rack.
Make yourself a gun rack. Get a gun rack on your gun rack.
I don't even own a gun.
Sorry. Prepare yourself. So thank you, Slumberyard, for sponsoring us as always. And we love you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You're the best.
So.
We talk about the future.
It is time to talk about the future.
Well, it's just funny that we've been talking about Xbox wanting to do something similar to this, and now...
they announced they did.
Yeah.
Well, the thing, though, is that like PlayStation and Xbox... PlayStation's been doing it for some time with PlayStation Now. Xbox has recently got into it with their Game Pass. But now Google...
and now coming to iOS and stuff. But yeah, now Google.
Now Google just says, hold my beer.
Yeah, Google's saying, hold on to your butts, because they released, or they announced Google Stadia. I don't know about the name yet.
No, it sounds like a coffee sweetener.
Yeah, I kept saying Stavia earlier. Yeah, like, I kept saying Stavia.
The name needs to be better, for sure.
Which is a cloud-based gaming platform that essentially allows you to play multiple games, including AAA, on any device that has Google Chrome access, which is a great idea. You know,
on paper, this looks amazing.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they're advertising it like you could run like 4K, you know,
4K 60 frames a second. Yeah, like that's impressive.
And they're even saying they're future proofing it, so like you could even go to 8K 120 frames per second. You know, mm-hmm. and they. Last October, they they did Project Stream. I don't know if you guys remember this.
We talked about it.
Yeah, I remember you tried it out. I remember that.
I did. Yep. And they teamed up with Ubisoft to have Assassin's Creed Odyssey be able to play on Chrome streaming on your computer. Just through a Chrome browser. And it worked pretty well. Like, I was surprised on how well it did. And I think there was a lot of people. And that's what this is coming from, essentially.
That was the beta test.
Now, I think this is our future in games. Like, this is what it's going to be. However, that 80% of the world is not going to be able to do this well.
No.
So...
Okay. Like you said earlier today, single player games and RPGs, turn-based RPGs, stuff like that, should be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of this is going to rely on your internet connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, so single player and even like strategy multiplayer games. So like if they do like StarCraft or...
Civ,
or something like that, I think would be fine. But if you're going to like Battle Royale, which is the hotness, you know, like there's no way. Fighting games, no.
Any online looter shooter. Yeah.
You know?
It's purely going to be relying on your internet connection. And does anyone remember OnLive?
No.
Barely.
Right, exactly. it was basically Netflix for games. And they didn't have the technology that Google does or the fuck you money that Google does. But... you could stream games live to your TV from anywhere in the world, except if you didn't have a strong internet connection. And even if you did, it was hard to play, and even single player games. And then, you know, they're not around anymore. So there you go.
I mean, I'm reading that Google is, I mean, they're planning on putting something like $13 billion into their infrastructure over the next year or two.
They got the money.
They do, but again, like if you have a great infrastructure and servers and all that, and you can make that work, great. Again, though, it like we've been saying, it's going to be dependent on your internet connection, and then to go along with that, even if you have a great internet connection, I mean, we still have to deal with caps from fucking Xfinity,
your ISPs,
So, like. Unless I guess I don't know how to get around. I don't want to like just blow through my internet cap every single month trying to do this. And then what is that going to do? How much is that going to cost? Well, how much is this service going to cost?
They did not mention.
Right. That. Yeah, they've been very quiet about it. Is it going to be a subscription service? Is it going to be free, but you still have to pay for the games? Like,
I'd imagine you'd have to pay a subscription per month, and then, depending on the quality of the game, not in terms of like resolution, but like if it's a AAA title, an indie title, something like that, you may have to pay, I don't know, like a rental fee.
Right.
Because that's what OnLive did. It was like $15 a month, $10 a month, something like that. And then if you want to play this game, you can pay $5 for 6 hours or something like that.
But like for me, somebody who... I like single player games, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like this could be right up my alley, you know. Could be. Like take Sekiro for instance, or Devil May Cry 5.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want to pay $60 for that game because I don't know if I'm going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what if it was on Stadia and I pay $15 a month for that?
Yeah, you just try it out, right?
Yeah. I'd be like, all right, game. This is awesome.
So time will tell what Google wants to do, but my big thing is internet connectivity, and then like Dustin said, ISPs cap your internet at a certain point, and it's one thing to download a 15 gigabyte 20 gigabyte game and then use, you know, your internet to play it. It's a whole other thing to stream something in 4K for hours.
Yeah
a company called you guys may have heard of them before, id, had the same
skepticism.
Hey, that's the one.
I got you.
Thanks, bud. And they came on, they were on the conference as well, and they had the same problems that we're saying now. And they are going to be having Doom Eternal be playable on the Google Stadia.
Yep.
And to me, that speaks something, because Doom is fast. Input is necessary. Like, that is a game that's... It's a single-player game, yes, but it requires some quick...
It's a twitchy shooter.
Yes. So, man, I don't know. There's a lot of, like, heavy hitters that are tying into Google right now. They're partnering with Ubisoft, and...
It's Doom, and then what was the other big game? Was it Assassin's Creed?
I think it was.
Those are the only two.
But those are right the only now. Two that I've seen. Yeah, like, we have no confirmation that any other, you know...
And it's, I don't know. It's a, like I said, it's a great idea, but it's...
It's still early.
Very early.
They have Phil Harrison, you know, as one of the guys heading it.
Mm-hmm.
That's Phil Harrison from Xbox back in the day. Jade Raymond is heading the Google Game Studio. Google's going to be, you know, doing the first party game studio. It's the future. It's cloud based gaming. Like I said, PlayStation's been doing it for some time, and it's worked.
But you also have a console hardware.
Yes.
And takes part of the problem out.
And this, same, this
go ahead.
I just think this allows people that don't have access to hardware or are limited by their hardware, you know, to be able to play these high end games at lower quality.
Very true.
You can play at a crappy laptop as long as you have access to a Chrome browser, like a Chromebook, you know? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Am I skeptical? Yes. You know, we'll have to see it. Yeah. But man,
the ceiling's very high.
It is so exciting to see this kind of technology come out.
It is. I mean, they're offering and almost saying it's going to be able to do a lot of things that I'm still waiting to see if that's legit on. You know, with the cloud-based gaming, it's something like if you're playing a multiplayer game and you're another server, like... They even describe it as an example of, like, if I blow up a tower in my server, like, other people in other servers will also see that. Like, is that real? You're really going to have real-time, like, events that alter whatever world you're in across the entire network? Is that legitimately going to happen?
I mean, Fortnite can have a whole concert in-game for everyone across the world.
I guess that's true.
I think Google might be able to handle that, but...
I mean, Google is gigantic. They are building this on top of their main infrastructure.
The other big problem I see down the road is this, like, well, you don't have Google Fiber, so
right,
you don't get, you know, 4K access, or I don't know. They might make you get Google Fiber for it.
They could do that, but like. It's not like that's everywhere. I mean,
no, and I don't think they would necessarily. But they're also one of the biggest, if not the biggest, company in the world who likes to make money. So I mean,
I'm not saying that's not feasible for them to do that, but like the Google Fiber is limited to certain places. So like, and trust me, if I had the option between Xfinity or Google Fiber right now, fuck Comcast. Oh no,
absolutely, I'd go Google Fiber.
Yeah,
1,000%. But I mean. It's just one of those things, like, they might limit your access if you don't live in a city that has Google Fiber. They could.
Kind of along that same topic, I was, like, curious as to what would happen if you're playing an online, like, you're just playing this, you're streaming this game, and your internet goes out. What happens to the progress of whatever game you're in? So I'm looking through this article, and Harrison says... Google is working on, quote-unquote, very clever technology that will protect game progress in the event of sudden internet droppage.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Very clever technology. Meaning what?
I would encourage you to watch their demo of this play real time. They had a demo that a guy was playing Assassin's Creed and was able to go from one device to another device without losing game progress. I feel it wouldn't be any different. You know,
be similar to that, probably.
Okay.
So, you know, yeah, very clever. Yeah, that's very. It's not really as dance around what the answer
it feels
is.
Very. It feels very tongue in cheek. It's like, okay, but
I'm skeptical in some way how it's going to work, but Google, man, I feel they could make it work, man.
Maybe.
I'm optimistic, so.
I mean, they couldn't make Google Plus work.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you look at the list of all the things Google's tried and killed, like, yeah. it's about 25 to 30 things. Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah. I mean, like, I hope it works, honestly, because that should be where we are headed, especially with what Xbox is doing or Microsoft is doing now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Google is Google, and as much good as they do in the world, they also do a lot of shitty things. So yeah. I'm worried to see if that bleeds over into this section too.
Yeah, and I'm just hoping that maybe we'll get some more of these answers like around E3, I think. Just because I feel like if you're gonna make an announcement like of something this that could be industry changing, you should kind of have some of the answers to these questions without having to go, "It's very clever technology." Haha. Like, you should have an answer for
What would you want the answer to be?
What they're actually going to do. Yeah. Like, I'm not asking for them to, like, show me the code. I'm asking for, don't be very clever technology. If you're announcing this, you should be able to answer. Yeah, you should be able to answer how you're going to save your gaming progress if your internet drops. Like, that should just a simple question.
But maybe they don't have a term for it right now, or maybe they don't, you know, it's not called anything. Maybe that's what it is.
Why are you being so defensive about this?
I'm not being defensive about it. I'm just talking about the technology. Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting. Like, that's all.
I mean, it's very possible it's something that's, you know, also, you know, something they invented to save that progress, which could be. I mean, it's Google. They've got the money to do that. I don't know. I just feels like there's some unanswered questions that I'm just hoping we get those answers at E3.
I would think.
Hope so.
If you're a person who is afraid of large companies like Amazon or Google always listening in, maybe stay away from this because I know the controller has a microphone built into it that is always on.
It's got a built-in Google Assistant.
Right. So. And it also connects directly to their servers and not anything you're using. Like, it's interesting. Yeah.
And also, if you're somebody who's afraid that Google and Amazon are always listening, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they are.
They are.
Clearly. Even, like, I mean, I bit the bullet. I mean, I have an Alexa, I have a Google Home, and, like, I'm sure they're somehow listening to this conversation right now. So, I mean, even though those two devices are far away from this room I'm in.
It's okay. We're going to start seeing ads for Google Stadia as soon as we stop recording.
It's too late.
Yep.
Sorry there.
One actual complaint about this thing is, other than the name, is the logo sucks.
Just in my opinion. Man.
Yeah.
That's just my personal opinion.
I'm just excited to see more.
I am too.
Me too.
That is the next step in, you know, video games, you know, is that platform.
Probably. Well, I'm not putting a stamp on that, but.
Well, what else would it be? Like, that's the next evolution, I'm saying, is cloud-based gaming.
Everyone's hoping it will be. It's yet to be seen if it will be.
No, I know. I'm just saying that's the next evolution. I'm not saying it's going to work. I'm just saying, like, that's, I feel like that's the next step that's from hardware to that platform.
That's where it's trending. Yeah, I can see that.
Well, I mean, we've yet to see if VR is up to what it is, and it's finally starting to get somewhere, I feel.
I feel like it's dying again. We need something else to happen. I mean, it's come a long way, but it's in a lull right now. So, we'll see. Honestly, like, that's why I'm like, I want it to be, but I also want VR to be the next evolution 3 years ago, and it's stagnant right now.
Hold on. Here's another thing. Remember the Google Glasses? The AR?
Yeah.
The augmented reality? I mean, those things are cool. I think they were just ahead of their time. But I think that's on the way, too. So, I don't know.
Microsoft has, like, some augmented reality table thing out there, too, but that's...
Yeah, did they introduce it to, like, E3 2 years ago or something?
Might have been three, but yeah, somewhere around there.
We're getting there.
Somebody was playing Minecraft, and they could see the person playing Minecraft on the table.
Like, that's a D&D, you know, DM's dream.
Yep.
And they already have tables like that, with, like, you know, it's basically a large TV. That's a table, but...
And in 5 years, when those prices come down enough, we will all get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And or it's like Divinity. with their type of thing. So, I mean, the technology is there. I just want to see it implemented and then actually, like, people need to catch on to it and, like, or implement it, I guess. But
yeah, and all the big companies are kind of stepping into the game, so.
Speaking of big companies, real quick, James Gunn's back on Guardians 3. Everybody cheer. Yay.
Yeah,
Put that in the background.
Whoa.
So he's playing both sides.
Yeah, I was going to say he's both sides of Harvey Dent's coin, for lack of a better metaphor.
I'd be interested to see a Suicide Squad movie with James Gunn as the director.
Oh, and they're completely rebooting it.
Yeah,
I'm cool with that too.
Suicide Squad, it's like a whole reboot. You know?
Yeah, that's not a bad thing necessarily.
No, that movie sucked.
Idris Elba is supposed to be Deadshot now. So
I'm game with that.
Color me intrigued.
I mean, I didn't think Will Smith was bad, but Idris Elba is just great in everything. So
Will Smith is one of the best parts of that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Or quote unquote movie.
Yeah, that movie's bad.
Ugh. I think they just tried too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was when. DC's moving in the right direction now, I think.
They were trying to be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I mean, they had Will Smith and, I can't remember the actress's name, Harley Quinn.
I can't think of her name right off the
Margot
top of my head.
Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
I liked her a lot, too, but.
Yeah, she's good.
Who is playing Sharon Tate in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the next Quentin Tarantino movie?
I'm so excited for that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio. There's a meme out there that says Brad Pitt is basically turning into Robert Redford, and I am okay with that.
The first thing I thought is, like, he looks a shit. I saw the poster. He looks a shitload like Robert Redford.
I'm cool with that, too.
I'm all good with that.
And people have been saying that for years, but he looks like Robert Redford. So, it's, we're going to have some good movies coming out. The Suicide Squad reboot's happening first, then he's jumping straight into Guardians 3.
Yeah, that's what they should do. I mean, having anybody else direct a Guardians movie other than James Gunn just would have felt bad. It just would have been off.
And I want to tackle Waititi.
Yeah,
which is, I said that I don't know how many episodes ago, but he straight out confirmed, he's like, that it's not going to be me. Like going to your new home, like, hey, I'm your new stepdad. This is how we brush our teeth now, or whatever he said. Yeah.
He respected it. He's like, no, I ain't doing that.
And I think maybe he knew, so
I think so too.
And if any Marvel movie is going to have any kind of reference to Ant-Man going tiny and then getting inside Thanos's asshole and then expanding into Giant Man, it's going to be Guardians 3.
Yep, so. It's going to be a James Gunn led movie for sure.
And speaking of which, Fox is officially owned by Disney now.
Yep,
yeah.
One step closer to that monopoly.
So, monopolies aren't good, I agree, but man, getting everything under the Marvel umbrella feels good.
I want to see Deadpool in some of these Marvel movies. Really bad.
How would they explain that? Like, oh, by the way.
Deadpool.
There's mutants.
Just Deadpool. That's the answer.
Yeah. But I'm also excited to possibly see, like, a Marvel-led Fantastic Four movie.
Not a shitty one, because Fantastic Four is rich of story.
Yeah.
There could be so much potential.
And getting it underneath that Marvel umbrella there, like, I just feel like we're going to finally see a very good Fantastic Four movie.
And here come the zillion X-Men. So, I mean, there's a lot of potential now.
I mean, I also would like to see a Marvel-led X-Men movie that's not just, and even though I'm a Wolverine fanboy, not just a Wolverine/X-Men movie.
Dark Phoenix has some potential, but
I'm afraid they're gonna ruin it. They're gonna ruin it.
They probably will.
I see it coming.
The trailer for it we saw at Captain Marvel looked okay.
It looked okay, but I just don't trust Fox.
Yeah. Oh, we also saw Captain Marvel. That was another thing we did. Forgot about
that. That's true.
Good movie. I did not see it yet. Okay. Good movie. Go see it.
Yeah.
It's probably and just because of how far Marvel has come in terms of quality of production and stuff like that, it's in my top 10, like probably 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there.
Yep.
I think it suffered because they had two directors.
So I would probably agree with you, but I was also going to put it about middle of the road, because I think there's 22 movies out, so that would be 9-10 would be about right. It's a very good movie. It's just
had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Soundtrack is tied for Guardians 1.
At this point, Marvel has their process, and it is very much a Marvel movie.
I'm pretty sure Civil War is still my favorite one.
It's
close that to or Winter Soldier.
One or three, yeah. But yeah, I feel like they could have taken more chances with Captain Marvel. But that's another time for another podcast, because we're coming to the end of this one. But
we could talk about Marvel movies all day, probably.
Yeah, we could.
We might do an episode someday where we just do that.
We probably should do that after Endgame.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Get the whole thing together and be like, how does
that
this...
That might be a two-hour
Yeah. How was this trip, guys? How was this trip?
Not editing that. Nose goes.
No, that'd be... I think if it's that long, that's just... if we try to not go way off topic, and it's just we leave everything in.
It's a round table.
Just a pure, straight conversation.
Yeah, yep.
But it is the end of the episode. So, it is time for Tweet Corner.
Tweet Corner! Ooh, ooh.
Got a few this time.
We did.
Yeah, we do. Got one late in the game today, you know? All right, let's start here from Jeff, allegedly Jeff, at CGY Podcast. If you could resurrect a game franchise from the dead, what would you bring back? Hashtag Tweet Corner. Hashtag explain Stadia to a caveman. No.
He also said impossible.
He also said hashtag bring back cool spot. So in a separate.
Oh, that was the second one. Yeah.
Yeah. He added on to that. Shit.
At least for me, immediately what came to mind was Knights of the Old Republic.
Which Lucasfilm's back, supposedly. Lucasfilm Games.
And I think that's why it kind of just subliminally popped in my head. I was like, please bring it back.
It's not official. There's that article that I shared, but like, it's not official, you know?
It's the rumor.
Sure.
So that one, the Coder, is a good...
I feel like a new Knights of the Old Republic game with current technology now. Oh, that'd be fun as shit.
Dead Space.
Ooh.
Not like one, answer. Like Dead Space 1, Dead Space 2. Like Dead Space 3 I'd like, but it wasn't that, it wasn't like scary sure. Dead Space, you know?
I'm going to say he'd never want to do it.
Don't say Half-Life 3. I thought about saying that. But I was like,
damn it.
No.
Damn it, no. No. He'd never want to do it, but a Metal Gear. I want one more.
Ooh, no, you're right.
Yeah.
Shit.
Metal Gear 5 never had anything added onto it like it was planned.
I would even say also another Jedi Knight game.
I could take another Jedi Knight game.
I could
but
do that too.
Dustin had KOTOR, so I stuck away from Lucasfilm stuff.
Fuck,
love one.
Yeah, I didn't even think about Metal Gear Solid, like because it just feels so new, and then I forgot that.
I want another Metal Gear 3-esque game.
Ah, I agree. Yes.
He'd never want to do it, and obviously the game, like, it's dead. It's gone. It lives on in pachinko machines and escape rooms. But
so I mean, with that, with Metal Gear Solid / Silent Hill /
Yeah, Silent Hill is a good answer too.
You know, Chrono Trigger.
Yeah,
sure. Jesus, yeah.
There's so many.
Gone too soon. Gone before their time.
I mean, I'm getting close to the point of saying Borderlands, unless they reveal that we're getting a Borderlands 3. I'm pretty sure
that's coming. Well, that's Thursday. We have some kind of announcement. So.
I feel like we're going to be disappointed. It's going to be just a Borderlands remake.
The one remaster with microtransactions.
Yeah. But I want a Borderlands 3.
Now, I'd be disappointed if it's not a 3, but we'd still play it, though, right?
Even if it's remastered, I'm going to fucking play the game.
I don't think I would.
I would. I'll be down.
I am so jaded from Borderlands 1. I don't know if I could ever return to it. I played the entirety of that game, and I know it'd be a lot different playing with you guys, but I played the entirety of that game by myself, and I fucking hated it.
Really? Well, we can play pre-sequel still, because I never really played that.
I've never beaten it.
I still got it.
Yeah, I have it.
So do I. All right, anyway.
Moving on.
At Katie Doodles 8. Hey, CGY Podcast, what are some unpopular opinions you guys have? She said, I didn't think Breaking Bad was all that good. It has some great characters, but the hype around it was way overdone. You're wrong, but okay.
Fucking mouth.
You're fucking super wrong, but...
Yeah, you're lucky. You're lucky that isn't grounds for divorce, lady.
I hear the ring coming off right now.
Stepbrothers.
That is yours, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
You've said that.
I don't think it's as good as people say it is.
I will disagree with you there, sir.
Everyone has so far, so that's okay. Yeah.
I mean, I do remember when I first saw, like, Anchorman back in the theaters, and similarly with Napoleon Dynamite. Like, I did not like those movies when I first saw them.
I hated Napoleon Dynamite
and then when I saw the theaters. And then they just kind of grew on me, and I was like, okay, I can see the funniness in this. And then I love them. But for me, I'm just going to say Nintendo is really not all that cool. I think it's a game.
All of Nintendo?
Usually it's like they come out with everything's either Zelda or Mario, and I feel like they mainly make games for little kids.
Old Man Dustin's coming out right now.
I just do, man. It's like,
get off my yard.
I can enjoy playing Smash Brothers or I can enjoy playing Mario Kart, but it's like, dude, hey Nintendo, come up with a new game, bro. Like, I'm still playing the same Mario Kart levels from like N64 days. Like, why don't you make something for an adult?
Breath of the Wild was that take, you know, I would say.
Absolutely.
It's still just Zelda. Like, it's just the same shit.
It's still just Zelda.
As somebody who hasn't beat Ocarina of Time, like, sup, bro?
Hey, man.
You know what you're talking about.
Hey. Boot a new franchise that doesn't involve Mario or Zelda.
Yeah, they have trouble doing that.
And then get at me.
But Splatoon, like... thank you very much.
I mean, yeah.
Donkey Kong Country.
Asked and answered.
Animal Crossing. Metroid.
These all sound like games for 12-year-olds.
Well, you know.
Metroid's Star Fox.
Okay, Metroid, no. But maybe even not even Star Fox. But
Star Fox is cartoony, so it's kid-esque, but...
I don't know, but
Conker's Bad Fur Day.
And that's not to say, like, I can't have fun playing. Like, I'm actually having more fun playing Super Smash Brothers now because I can play with you guys and play on teams, and I'm not just getting the shit kicked out of me every time. But, like, I don't know. It just, every time they announce a new game and it's like, hey, another Mario, I'm like, cool. Exciting. Mario again.
I'm so sorry for your inner child.
That's why it's my unpopular opinion. But again, I had the original NES, and then I went to Sega and then PlayStation. So there's a whole lot of nostalgia there that I did not partake in as I went through Super Nintendo, N64, and all that shit. So that could be why.
It's not really an unpopular opinion, except for most of our friends, but I feel like the Cubs are fucking overrated now. I love the players.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the way that franchise is being run now, top to bottom.
Yeah, there's something that I can see what you're saying. After they won the World Series, there is a change to and the mentality there.
Fuck the Ricketts. I mean,
I mean, yeah, that's.
Like I said, I don't know how of an unpopular opinion it is, but it's, you know, I'm a big Cubs fan.
Unpopular opinion for Clark is Chick-fil-A's garbage.
Oh, thank you. Yes, Chick-fil-A can fucking eat a dick. Not because of their corporate policies, which I disagree with, obviously. But
you,
I mean,
you got sick on their food, right? Is that what happened?
Fuck. I mean, we've talked about it a few times. Yeah. Like, we had one in my college commons, and I didn't get necessarily super sick, but like it was a bunch of kids cooking food who didn't give a shit. So like, super overrated.
Hey,
and fuck
hey.
You for being closed on Sundays.
I will agree with you. I do enjoy Chick-fil-A, but I will agree with you that it's overrated. Like
completely.
I'm not going to go out of my way to go.
I can get better chicken elsewhere.
I agree.
So yeah, Chick-fil-A is garbage. But we have one more tweet.
Mm-hmm.
This one also from Katie Doodles 8.
Katie Doodle,
hey,
one more again.
at CGY Podcast. What are your rankings of the following chips? Cheetos, natural cheese. I'm guessing she means Doritos.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
OG Lay's, barbecue Lay's, Cool Ranchos. Is that tarantulas? Fritos. I rank them as they are listed above. Hashtag Tweet Corner.
This is just our individual rankings of these two. It's not even our CGY podcast rankings. Mm-mm,
mm-mm. Okay. I mean, I'll go first.
Sure.
Number one, probably nacho cheese Doritos. Number two, Cheetos. Number three, barbecue Lay's. Number four, Cool Ranchos. Number five, Fritos. And then number six, OG Lay's.
For me, you switch Fritos and Cool Ranchos, and then otherwise it's the same.
Wow. I feel so...
First of all...
Disgusted.
Cheetos are good, but the jalapeno cheddar Cheetos are infinitely better. And second of all, Fritos are okay, but...
Yeah.
Also, Cheetos has these, you can find them at gas stations, they're probably stores as well, but they're white cheddar puffs, and they're the smaller puffs. Phenomenal.
Those are good. Fritos has a, chili not cheese. The, not the, yeah, the chili cheese Fritos, way above, way better than just regular Fritos.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
Those are my caveats there.
I'm going to go Cool Ranch Doritos, number one.
Ranch.
Yeah, it's.
Is that an unpopular opinion?
That's probably an unpopular opinion, but
fuck honestly, ranch.
Honestly, Josh tweeted, what is it, yesterday, that blue cheese is better than ranch, and it's not even close. Yes,
1,000%.
No. I agree with it.
I agree. No. All day. Every day.
Hold on. Katie, this is just for you. Don't divorce me, but blue cheese is better than ranch. Bye.
By the way, that's our host notification sound. For Twitch.
You're a genius. Now you got to work in the Mastiff in there somewhere.
That's our raid sound.
Oh, yes.
Sorry to interrupt.
So anyway, Cool Ranch Doritos. Then I'll do Cheetos, crispy. Or crunchy, not the puffs.
Crispy.
I said crispy. Crispy Cheetos. So Cool Ranch, Cheetos. I'm going to do barbecue Lay's. Nacho cheese Doritos, Fritos, and then original Lay's.
OG Lay's are just, ugh, no thanks.
I mean, they have their place, but I really have to be in the mood for them.
Fritos, I need a dip.
Standard Fritos are good, like, to put in, like, chili. I like doing that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But they need other things. Barbecue Lay's, I can just kind of chill and eat on a summer day.
I can munch on.
Crunchy Cheetos are great.
I eat Fritos with ketchup, and it's delicious.
But I hold strong. Cool Ranch Doritos are my number one go-to. I fucking love those. That's
okay. I don't dislike Cool Ranch Doritos. I just prefer nacho cheese.
I mean, they're superior in every way to nacho cheese, but whatever. That's fine.
Sweet chilies, the superior Dorito flavor. That's the end of it. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear any tacos.
Those are good, too. I like those better than nacho cheese Doritos.
I do, too.
They're fucking fantastic. Whatever.
Bunch of fucking unpopular
opinions. Also, the extreme like buffalo. The buffalo with ranch, like extreme Doritos or whatever. Ooh. Those are fucking good.
What was the Dorito we had at game day? They were an extreme, like hot flavor.
Yeah.
Which one was that?
I can't remember.
I don't know. Those were fucking good too.
Whatever that one was, that's good.
I'll go back to the lab, and maybe we'll have an answer for next time. Because that's going to do it for us here at Come Get Your Podcast.
Yeah, what he said.
That was episode 47.
Sure was.
Please follow us on Twitter and Facebook at CGY Podcast. Go over to Twitch. Follow us there, twitch.tv/comegetyourpodcast. That may change in the future. I might shorten it to the other things, but we'll see. Visit our website, comegetyourpodcast.com. Follow us on Spotify. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean. I think that's all of those.
Leave a rating at Podbean, I would say, as well.
Yes.
And iTunes, because we see those and we appreciate any honest.
They make me smile.
Constructive feedback
on the inside.
Constructive criticism. I can talk. This is cool.
It's fine. It's whatever you feel like telling us. Leave a rating.
I'm nervous.
Yeah. Let's tell your friends, and have them tell two friends, and have them tell two friends, and wanna.
It works, guys.
It just works. So y'all got phones. Anyway, as always, we end every episode with a shower thought from Reddit. This week's comes from Yo Mama 420.
It's a winner already.
Whoever tweeted this is fucking 12 years old.
There's some underscores in there too, but okay. Yo Mama 420.
They might be 16.
There are many innocent cats. There are many innocent cats lifted in the air because of the Lion King.
Yeah.
And that's going to do it for episode 47 at Come
To Your Podcast. Not just cats. Like, there's babies.
I've dogs. Been your host, Adam.
I've been Dustin.
And I've been Chris.
And don't lift your cat up in the air or babies. Yeah. Ever. Keep them on the ground.
But it's the circle of life.
Where they belong.
Cool Ranch Doritos are king.
Fuck you. Bye.
Bye. Fuck you. Ranch is better than blue cheese. Thank you.